Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. Saba blessing to each and every one of you. On this Sabbath, September 21st, 2024, this is our review of our chapter 81 entitled The Lord is Risen, part 4 of our lesson 417. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And I'm going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Talk theme hymn entitled Just As I Am, number 314.
I'm getting my whistle wet here.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of more than one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, receive, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love I own, has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask one of the little ones to be able to open the review section with prayer. By the help of the parent or older sibling, may you open your mic, dear ones.
God blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. We protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. It is me and everybody that's in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath, in the Sabbath words that we're about to learn, in the Sabbath prayers, in the Sabbath songs, the new Sabbath songs that we can learn for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, to sing to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sister. We are going to listen to hear all the wonderful blessings that the little one has been in their household, in whatever area in their life. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
For mommies and daddies, Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommies and daddies, little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma, highlighting them for always being willing to learn and to listen. This week I was reviewing something with Haley, and it was beautiful. We were going over some like metrics for math, timetables and stuff. And, we were going over like 160 seconds makes 1 minute, 1 minute equals this. And then it says, 7 days make 1 week. And Haley said, I already know that because the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. And it was a blessing for her to be able to correlate, what she's learning outside to what she's learning inside, and about Christ. So praise the Lord for that, and continue to lift them and let them to continue to be little lights in their spheres, wherever they may go.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to be able to share? Even if they don't have no little ones, they may have little ones in Christ, which is their older children. If you would like to share, I will. I would like to highlight Brother Josh. Brother Josh and I had embarked in a little work here with my mom, and I'm so glad that he has always been gentle with his grandmother. And for a couple of days that I was not able to do certain things, he got up and he made his breakfast for his grandmother and his lunch, and always with a peaceful and a loving attitude, always with his grandmother or anyone that are asking him to do something. And I thank God for that, for the helper that he had provided. Does anybody else like to be able to share?
Sabbath blessing, everyone. I would just like to highlight my granddaughter. And on occasions, she has been here. Today, she's not. Last week, I think her mom sent me pictures of her doing the dishes, and she was not prompted by anyone, and she did them all. So I might repeat that when she's here again so that she can hear it. But yeah, praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that picture will be shared on our next upcoming review that we may be able to give time. Thanks for that. I'm going to continue there once if there's anybody else besides. Okay. It is story time, little ones, of our review. Let's have a listening ear for our dear brother will be able to share. We are in chapter 20, entitled Before Pilate, part 4, of the story of Jesus.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 23. Verses 5 to 7. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction or territory, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. As the priests and elders heard this from Pilate, their disappointment and rage knew no bounds. They had long plotted and waited for this opportunity, and as they saw the prospect of the release of Jesus, they seemed ready to tear him to pieces. They lost all reason and self-control and gave vent to curses. Now, these are the priests. Can you imagine a preacher cursing? Behaving more like demons than men, they loudly denounced Pilate and threatened him with the censure of Roman government. They accused Pilate of refusing to condemn Jesus, who they affirmed had set himself up against Caesar. They had raised the cry, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Next slide, please. and they shouted louder than I did, I'll tell you. Pilate at this time had no thought of condemning Jesus. He was sure of his innocence. A judge can look on the face of a person being tried. He can tell if the person is guilty or not. Guilt shows on our faces, as well as does innocence. And that's all that Pilate saw in Jesus. He was sure of his innocence. But when he heard that Christ was from Galilee, he decided to send him to Herod, the ruler of that province, who was then in Jerusalem. By this course, Pilate thought to shift the responsibility of the trial from himself to Herod. Yeah, let Herod condemn him. I don't want to do it. Jesus was faint from hunger and weary from loss of sleep. He'd been up all the day before, all that night. Let's see, he was up all day Thursday, all night Thursday, and all day Friday until 3 o'clock when he died. Jesus was weary for loss of sleep. He was also suffering from the cruel treatment he had received. But Pilate delivered him again to the soldiers, and he was dragged away amid the jeers and insults of the merciless mob. That was taken from Story of Jesus, page 126 and 127. And you can imagine the soldiers didn't treat him like their grandfather or their brother or somebody that had any value to them. You're a criminal. Come on. That's the way they dragged him away. Is that it, Rose?
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And that will end the time that Jesus spent with Pilate, but now, in the new chapter we're going to have, we are going to go to understand more about what happened to him when he was dragged to Herod. So next Sabbath, we will begin a new chapter, 21, of our study entitled Before Herod, in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, September 28, 2024. I'm going to hand our dear brother back the review section.
All right, in review, how did the priests and elders respond to Pilate or answer him? When Pilate said, he's innocent.
How did the answer to number one is the disappointment, disappointment and the rage knew no bounds.
They couldn't believe it. They brought Jesus up there to be condemned. And Pilate says, he's innocent. And they lost their minds and started screaming. What did they accuse Pilate of?
The answer to number two is that they accused Pilate of refusing to condemn Jesus.
Yeah, you see, if Pilate were loyal to Caesar, he would for sure condemn anybody that was trying to take either his or Caesar's place. And that's what they were telling him. You're not faithful to the boss because you're not condemning this man who says he's a king. Anyway, what did Pilate decide to do with Jesus when he found out that he was from Galilee?
He decided to send him to Herod.
Yes, he said, oh boy, here's a chance for me to get away out from under this one. Let Herod deal with this. And so he says, take him to Herod. It's his jurisdiction, his territory, his province, his state, maybe his county. And I think we'll find out next week, Rose said. What happened over there at Herod's court? Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson of their review from last Sabbath of God's creation through nature and our topic, Moments of the Bible Review. Let's have a listening ear, dear ones, because we will share. Brother Josh will be the one to share.
God bless everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning mammals. A Bible verse for our lesson review is taken from the book FBO Quarter Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 4, a sermon. In Matthew chapters 5 verses is 1 to 12, and it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he said, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, that they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye met when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in me and seem glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." We'll be reviewing but seeing the biblical lesson from lesson one from last week, Wild Hoofed Mammals. The memory verse is Matthew 7:12. It says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." But this is the law and the prophets. The character quality of the story is self-control versus self-indulgence. Self-control is control of one's emotions, desires, or actions by one's own will, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And here it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Galatians 5:24-25. Jesus teaches, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying," Matthew 5:1-2. "With a feeling that something more than usual might be expected, they now pressed about their master. They believed that the kingdom was soon to be established, and from the events of the morning, they gathered assurance that some announcement concerning it was about to be made. A feeling of expectancy pervaded the multitude also, and eager faces gave evidence of the green hillside, of the deep interest. As the people sat upon the green hillside, awaiting the words of the divine teacher, their hearts were filled with thoughts of future glory. They were scribes and Pharisees who looked forward to the day when they should have dominion over the hated Romans and possess the riches and splendor of the world's great empire. The poor peasants and fishermen hoped to hear the assurance that their wretched hovels, the scanty food, the life of toil and fear of want were to be exchanged for mansions of plenty and days of ease. Place of the one coarse garment which was their covering by day and their blanket at night, they hoped that Christ would give them the rich and costly robes of their conquerors. All hearts thrilled with the proud hope that Israel was soon to be honored before the nations as the chosen of the Lord, and Jerusalem exalted as the head of a universal kingdom. The Desire of Ages, page 299. Jesus was teaching the multitude what true self-control was like. When a person becomes meek and poor in spirit, they're not so easily tempted to lose their self-control when others treat them wrong. As sinners, they realize that all they really deserve is death. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Christ's first words to the people on the mount were words of blessing. Happy are they, he said, who recognize their spiritual poverty and feel their need of redemption. The gospel is to be preached to the poor, not to the spiritual proud. Those who claim to be rich and need of nothing is revealed. But to those who are humble and contrite, one fountain only has been opened for sin, fountain for the spirit, poor in spirit. Desire of Ages, pages 299 to 300. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, page 90. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. The difficulties we have to encounter may be very much lessened by that meekness which hides from Christ. If we possess the humility of our Master, we shall rise above the slights, the rebuffs, the annoyances to which we are daily exposed, and they will cease to cast a gloom over the spirit. The highest evidence of nobility in a Christian is self-control. He who under abuse or cruelty fails to maintain a calm and trustful spirit robs God of his right to reveal in him his own perfection of character. Holiness of heart is the strength that gives victory to the followers of Christ. It's the token of their connection with the courts above. Desire of Ages, page 301. Parent study. Desire of Ages, pages 298 to 314. Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, pages 6 to 35, 134, 152. Do more research about self-control. Look who we learn for our nature walk experience, dear ones. Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Do the picture earth where that sister Joan on taken over the seagull and the sea over the, you know, in a sunset scene, says here nature daily cycles. The sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down and hasted to his place where he arose. Ecclesiastes 1:5. Oftentimes we take the light of the sun for granted during the daytime. We hardly even give its ministry a thought. Then, as it sinks in the west with parting glory, we may stop to admire the lovely scene. It makes a person wonder, how many things in life do we take for granted? Or we see their beautiful beauty and loveliness as they are about to leave us. The people on the ship have come close to losing their lives because of the storm. Such experiences help people to realize what a precious gift life is. The same sun also can also remind us that they must fall who would rise again. Self must be dethroned. Pride must be humbled if we would know the glory of a spiritual king. The Jews would accept the honor that is reached through humiliation. Desire of Ages, page 57. God's love for his people. I have seen the tender love that God has for his people, and it is very great. I saw angels over the saints with their wings spread about them. Each saint had an attending angel. If the saints wept through discouragement or in danger, the angels that ever attended them would fly quickly upward to carry the tidings, and the angels in the sea would cease to sing. Then Jesus would commission another angel to descend to encourage, watch over, and try to keep them from going out of the narrow path. But if they did not take heed to the watchful care of these angels, and would not be comforted by them, but continued to go astray, the angels would look sad and weep. They would bear the tidings upward, and all the angels in the sea would weep, and then with a loud voice say, Amen. The saints fix their eyes upon the priors before them and glorify God by praising him, that the angels would bear the glad tidings to the city, and the angels in the sea would touch their golden harps and sing with a loud voice, Hallelujah, and the heavenly arches would ring with their lovely songs. Early writing, page 39, paragraph 1. Nature, birds of the seacoast. The South American Canadian water birds usually nest along the seacoast. Along the Atlantic coast, you may see birds such as the American oyster catcher, the black skimmer, a common tern, and a common tern. Along the Pacific coast, you could find these birds nesting. The black oyster catcher, the western gull, which is the kind of a gull in these two pictures on the right, and the Casson's auklet. On both coasts, you could find the brown pelican, the laughing gull, and the Wilson's plover. Saul could have had a life of a sword with God, referring to King Saul. Sadly, he would not wait for nor obey God's counsel. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah 40:31. And taken from the sunset picture, or above some clouds, I mean underneath some clouds, was taken from dear sister Christina. The spectacular sunsets that the great artist lovingly paints for us are but glimpses of heaven's glory shining through the curtain of the sky. Probably the men on the boat were thankful for each day the sun arose and set and they were still alive. The day turning into night reminds us that the night cometh when no man can work. John 9:4. The life-giving light leaves the sky each evening to remind us of the darkness of death caused by sin, but that which might become a source of fear and hopelessness instead becomes a time of rest because we have faith that God will cause the sun to come up again in the morning. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:21-23. Paul comforted the people on the ship with words about God's mercy and compassion. He told them the Lord would not allow them to be consumed with the angry waters. The alteration of day and night should be revealed the truth that nature is averse to permanent gloom. Evan Oswald. We can expand the gospel like water expands as it freezes. The shepherds also share what they saw and heard. Clouds float high in the air, but fog and vapor stay near the earth. As the vapor ascends, it forms clouds. God causes it to ascend. He had caused prayers to ascend to heaven by Anna and Simeon. And then he answered their prayers by sending down the water of life to refresh them. The clouds, water, vapor. Notice the ocean clouds in the background of this picture and the foreground in a Hawaiian splash zone cricket. Or actually referring to the pit. Yeah, to the picture of the cloudy sky, just a week before, or this last week of summer and the first day of fall, which will occur tomorrow. Next are these pictures of leaves already changing their colors, and this paragraph in these squares first tell how and why. It says here, chlorophyll makes the leaves green from a green substance and the chloroplasts. Chlorophyll can remind us of faith, which captures light coming from the sun of righteousness and turns it into spiritual food. Most trees also have reds and yellows in their leaves, but the green conceals these colors. In the late summer and early autumn, the chlorophyll made broadleaf leaves breaks down and the leaves stop making food. Then the leaves die, but before the leaves fall, they reveal their hidden reds and yellows. Carotene, which is present in carrots, corn, and daffodils, give the leaves a yellow color. After the chlorophyll breaks down, many leaves also develop scarlet and purple due to the presence of anthocyanin. There are many hidden blessings like colors and leaves in the Sabbath that we can enjoy, and that is why we do not sleep it away. It is It is thought that changing the color of the sunlight in the fall is the trigger that causes chlorophyll to fade away. On the Sabbath, there is a change in the sunlight. The whole day is unusually bright with the special blessing of the Sun of Righteousness. Nature, Earth. This is from the Birds book. And the topic is communication, part one. Birds communicate with one another in many ways. Sound is the most important way. Notice in our Bible and how many times the sons of the prophets and Elisha communicate with one another. How thankful we can be for our voice and the ability to talk with one another. Most birds, like perchin species, including the blue jay, which was taken from a picture on a book taken from our dear sister Grace, have a voice and use it to call or sing. A call is like a squawk, whistle, or peep. A song has several notes that have a pattern. Many birds use both calls and songs. Other birds, like water birds and birds of prey, call but do not sing. A few birds make no vocal sounds, such as storks and pelicans. Blue jays are natural forest dwellers, but they're also highly adaptable and intelligent birds. There are a familiar noisy presence around many North American bird feeders. The blue jay's JJ call is only one of a wide variety of sounds the bird employs, including excellent imitations of several hawk calls. Information taken from NationalGeographic.com. And below the picture says, a blue jay cannot see its own blueness, but everyone else can. The identity of the person who gave this info is unknown. And below says, belonging to the order Passeriformes, which encompasses more than half of all bird species, blue jays are considered perching birds or songbirds. This order is characterized by a specialized foot structure that aids in perching and offers stability, a trait crucial for their arboreal lifestyle. Next is this picture, based on the picture of the clouds taken by dear sister Ace. Ace, here's the spiritual lesson concerning clouds. Nature, clouds. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Job 26:8. What are clouds? There are lots and lots of very tiny water droplets or ice crystals that form in the air, that are floating in the air. Water vapor arises from salty oceans or slimy swamps, leaving its impurities behind. It's changed into clouds. Fluffy white clouds moving across a blue sky or at sunset are very beautiful. Some who came to be baptized left their sins behind and became like beautiful, fluffy white clouds, while others did not want to give them up. John said to those who would not give up their sins, referring to John the Baptist, generation, or Pharisees and Sadducees, of vipers, or children of Satan, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. The guilty secrets of their lives were unveiled as the clouds of their hypocrisy was removed by John's rebuke. The people have been led to have a high opinion of the piety of these men. They looked up to them admiringly, but these men were like the men described in Proverbs 25:14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. These self-righteous people did not have the rain of repentance within them. Continue our reference reading from the Mount of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from our lesson book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 31, The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, though given especially to the disciples, was spoken in the hearing of the multitude. After the ordination of the apostles, Jesus went with them to the seaside. Here in the early morning, the people had begun to assemble. Besides the usual crowds from the Galilean towns, there were people from Judea and even from Jerusalem itself, from Perea, from Decapolis, from Idumea, away to the south of Judea. that from Tyre and Sidon, the Phoenician cities on the shore of the Mediterranean, when they heard what great things he did, they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. There went virtue out of him and healed them all. Mark 3:8, Luke 6:17-19. Isaiah 8, page 298, paragraph 2. The narrow beach and not afford even standing room within reach of his voice for all who desired to hear him. And Jesus led the way back to the mountainside, reaching a level space that offered a pleasant gathering place for the vast assembly. He seated himself on the grass, and the disciples and the multitude followed his example. In Isaiah 8, page 298, paragraph 3. The disciples' place was always next to Jesus. The people constantly pressed upon him, yet the disciples understood that they were not to be crowded away from his presence. They sat close beside him, that they might not lose a word of his instruction. They were attentive listeners, eager to understand the truths they were to make known to all lands and all ages. Desire of Ages, page 299, paragraph 1. Continuing. The proud heart urge strives to earn salvation, but both our title owed to heaven and our fitness for are found in the righteousness of Christ. The Lord can do nothing toward the recovery of man until, convinced of his own weakness and stripped of all self-sufficiency, he yields himself to the control of God. Then he can receive the gift that God is waiting to bestow. From the soul that feels his need, nothing is withheld. He has unrestricted access to him in whom all fullness dwells. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57:15, Desire of Ages, page 300, paragraph 1. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. By these words, Christ does not teach that mourning in itself has power to remove the guilt of sin. He gives no sanction to pretense or to voluntary humility. The mourning of which he speaks does not consist in melancholy and lamentation. While we sorrow on account of sin, we are to rejoice in the precious privilege of being children of God. Desire of Ages, page 300, paragraph 2. Blessed are the meek. The difficulties we have to encounter may be very much lessened by that meekness which hides itself in Christ. If we possess the humility of our Master, we shall rise above the slights, the rebuffs, the annoyances to which we are daily exposed. And they will cease to cast a gloom over the Spirit. The highest evidence of nobility in a Christian is self-control. He who under abuse or cruelty fails to maintain a calm and trustful spirit robs God of his right to reveal to him his own perfection of character. Lowliness of heart is the strength that gives victory to the followers of Christ. It is the token of their connection with the courts above. Desire of Ages, page 201, paragraph 3. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Psalm 138, paragraph 6. There are three bonus questions. You can find the answers in both the Bible and the Desire of Ages book. The question one is, where did this sermon take place? The answer is in Matthew 5:1. Question two is, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? The answer is in the Desire of Ages, page 299. And paragraph 3, what do verses 4 and 5 of Matthew 5 mean? The answer is in the Mount of Blessings, page 9, and the Desire of Ages, page 301. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now. Thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Jack. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And remember, little ones and family, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If anyone would like to be able to join us in the opening of our hymn to our review section, entitled Jesus Save, number 340, you may unmute your mic to do so. Oh, I miss my sister. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus save, Jesus save. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus save, Jesus save. Hear the news to every land, climb the steep and cross the waves. Onward till our Lord's command, Jesus save, Jesus save.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sail to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall shout her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battles dry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and his life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing us softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy gives. Sing the triumph over the tomb.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the wind.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead, dear sister.
All right. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Let the nation now rejoice. Jesus save, Jesus save. Shout salvation full and free. Higher hills and deeper caves. This is a song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to ask the elder siblings, Mommy, so Daddy, so even our guests, to have opening prayer to our family review. You may unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless everybody. Thank you, God, for waking me up for this morning. Please protect the people hearing that's not here. Please protect the Sabbath that we're going to be learning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little sister. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section God's Love. Taken from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, King James Version, margin.
Behold what manner of love manner of love.
Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are coming in. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 785. Who would like to continue with the paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
Desire of Ages, page 785. Continuing. Christ rose from the dead as the first fruits of those that slept. He was the antitype of the wave chief, and his resurrection took place on the very day when the wave sheep was to be presented before the Lord. For more than 1,000 years, this symbolic ceremony had been performed. From the harvest fields, the first heads of ripened grain were gathered, and when the people went up to Jerusalem to the Passover, next slide, on the side it says a wave offering, wave the Omer, Leviticus 8:27. He puts up all these on the hands of Aaron and on the hands of his sons and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. An Omer is simply a sheaf, specifically a bundle of grain from the beginning of the first crop or harvest, which was most likely barley, the Exodus 9:31. The sheaf of the first fruit was waved as a thank offering before the Lord. Not until this was presented could the sickle be put to the grain and it be gathered into sheaves. The sheaf dedicated to God represented the harvest. So Christ, the first fruits, represented the great spiritual harvest to be gathered for the kingdom of God.
Continuing the reading, his resurrection is the type and pledge of the resurrection of all the righteous dead. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Desire of Ages, page 785, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 786. As Christ arose, he brought from the grave a multitude of captives. The earthquake at his death had rent open their graves, and when he arose, they came forth with him. They were those that had been co-laborers with God, and who, at the cost of their lives, had borne testimony to the truth. Now, they were to be witnesses for him who had raised them from the dead. Desire of Ages, page 786, paragraph 1.
We are in page 789 from the Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the following paragraph, you want to read on with your mic?
During this ministry, Jesus had raised the dead to life. He had raised the son of the widow of Nain and the ruler's daughter and Lazarus. But these were not clothed with immortality. After they were raised, they were still subject to death. But those who came forth from the grave at Christ's resurrection were raised to everlasting life. Next slide, please. Continuing. They ascended with him as trophies of his victory over death and the grave. These, said Christ, are no longer the captives of Satan. I have redeemed them. I have brought them from the grave as the first fruits of my power to be with me where I am, never more to see death or experience sorrow. Desire of Ages, page 786, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 786. These went into the city and appeared unto many, declaring, Christ has risen from the dead, and we be risen with him. Thus was immortalized the sacred truth of the resurrection. The risen saints bore witness to the truth of the words, My dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise.
Continuing, the Desire of Ages, page 780. Their resurrection was an illustration of the fulfillment of the prophecy, Awaken, sing ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah 26:19.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family, and those that are coming in. Welcome. What we have learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we're going to take a few minutes to be able to review the question that we have for this review section of our part four. That is a typo. Forgive me, dear ones. In our study, Desire Ages. What have we learned and ways we have grown? Before we share our answers and our comments, we will share a scripture song to remind us from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. To give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen, I will read out the question. And if you are moved to share, dear ones, you may mute your mic or you could text it in the room, in the chat. Number one is, who is the main character or characters of this part four? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take number one, dear ones?
The answer to question one is Jesus, and through this section of the chapter, we also, you see mentioned Lazarus, the widow's son, the widow of Nain's son, and the ruler's daughter.
Number two, the main idea of this section of the story is the resurrection of Christ and also the precious souls that rose with him and gave testimony of his resurrection.
The answer to the question be where the story takes place. Probably still at the tomb of Joseph.
Number four is where did the story begin? Was when Christ was crucified. That's where that part of the story began, and now we see his resurrection.
My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? Jesus showed from these symbols that his comeback will save us. From the event of bringing Lazarus, the widow's son, and Jairus' daughter are all back to life. And we see him the the representations from the chiefs of the first we and the Weva of Rune. All these shrines show that his resurrection would take place, and those that believed in him and were faithful to him would see life eternal. Therefore, they'd be finally saved from death.
I just would like to add to that we as Christians have also a spiritual death. When we were submerged in the water, we died spiritually to this world and was risen. And by the grace of God, we are expected by the Lord to live His life, and by the life and the strength and life that He gives us.
For number 6, what did you learn? I have a question, and I wanted to go back to the part of the righteous dead that was risen with Christ. And something that came to my mind was, I wanted to ask, if those that rose with him, as like, when we're seeing about the first sheaves, if this is considered a 10% and correlating that to tithing, I just wanted to see if what the Lord impressed upon my mind, if that is a correct observation, to see if that is something to explore and learn more about.
Amen. I will just share what it is that I have learned with this particular part. Remember that tithings are, some of them monetary, but also tithings in the Old Testament was done in goods. This harvest that the Lord had actually gave the gospel to, at 10%, was to the glory of God. I believe, and you know, you can be able to please correct me, the 10% that went to heaven with him was the 24 elders. Now, the 10% that was gathered along with the 24 elders were that harvest that was risen just to be able to fulfill the area where, notice how beautiful this story is to me. I don't know if you might see it the same way. It is so beautiful that the Lord had actually allowed resurrected brothers and sisters to give the gospel. They didn't have no excuse to be able to know who Jesus really was, because now the only one that can resurrect the dead is God. So all those questions and all those doubts that many had because of the false interpretation of the leaders at that time, now they had physical evidence. The earth quake, the graves was open. It's just a 10% of what's going to happen at the very end. So on this tithing, yes, we do have tithing which is monetary, but also we have tithings that are goods. And these are the first fruits that was following with Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit of those that resurrected, but then they still had a 10% that also came up with him to be a witness and do the job that if the elders, which is like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, which were depositories of the word of God, fail, notice that the Lord always find a way to cover that, which is going to happen also in these last days. We are going to have a 10%, but of the living. And I really believe, I can't be able to be corrected. The 144,000 is that 10% of the living. But this was a 10% of the dead that the multitude, the massive amount that will be resurrected when Christ comes. This is really the foundation of it. Please, if anybody, please can be able to elaborate or correct. May you unmute your I hope and pray, dear sister, that this will be able to kind of touch slightly upon what it is that this particular slide is talking about. But don't forget, you study to show yourself approved unto God, because the Lord always, as he impressed your heart, he knows exactly what it is that he's bringing that truth to us for you to know. Is there anyone that would like to be able to share on that particular topic? Victims, may you unmute your mic to do so. I just wanted to share one thing. A lot of people believe that Christ was not in the Old Testament, and that is because a lot of churches and groups and belief doesn't have the Old Testament as being as important. But by seeing the types and the symbol, we can see that he came to fulfill everything that was written by the prophet, and also what was written based on the ceremonial book. Take some time and learn a little bit more about these things, that you can be able to help many that believe that Jesus is just in the New Testament. But while he was walking here on earth, what he was sharing was the Old Testament. And he kept telling them to go back and read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it is written. When they removed the very foundation of what the plan of salvation was, this is the reason why they have so much question. So let us be a generation by God's grace to not only give a partial, but to give what Christ came to do. Not only he was the type, was also the anti-type as well. Our dear elder said Proverbs 31 question. Is that to read it, Elder Rob, or let me just give you the mic?
Our dear sister Christina asked a question in regards to the 24 elders that were risen. And so she's asking if they're the same. It says, are those 24 elders the same elders that are mentioned in Proverbs 31? And I think Elder Rob just wanted to get clarity on if it's Proverbs 31. So that's where that question came from, Tiros.
Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so dear Sister Christina, the one of the 24 elders is in basically in the New Testament, and also you're going to find them in the book of Revelation. But if the dear brothers and sisters would like to be able to share on the question that she has, besides... just let me know, dear sister, if there is more that you would like to ask, or I will just bubble down that any one of our dear brothers that would like to be able to share. If it's understood, we are going to continue, dear ones. We have thoughts and poems and special music to share. The thought is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy devotional book entitled That I May Know Him, on chapter 270, dated September 27, 1895, entitled Strength Through Trials. And that will be page 276, paragraph 1 through 5. And our opening scripture is taken from Psalm 66, verse 10 from the King James, and it reads, For thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Untried character is not reliable. We are to be tried by temptation in order that we may learn to seek wisdom from God and to flee to the stronghold in time of trouble. He alone will be successful in resisting temptation who finds help and grace from God. Individually, we stand as did our first parents,
face to face with manifold temptations that solicit mind and heart. All heaven is watching with intense interest to see whether we will look unto Jesus and submit ourselves to his will, or whether in the temptation we shall follow the inclinations of the natural heart and the solicitations of the evil one. I may know him, page 276, paragraph 2.
Let those who are perplexed with temptation go to God in prayer. Persevere in prayer and watch thereunto without doubting. And the Holy Spirit will work in the human agent, bringing heart and mind into subjection to right principles. Those who, through faith, are kept by the power of God, learn good and precious things. They experience the peace of Christ which passes understanding. In resisting temptation, you refuse to be confederate with Satan, and place yourselves under the banner of Jesus Christ. In the sight of heavenly intelligences, you develop yourself as a conqueror. It is made manifest that you are a son of God. That I may know him, page 276, paragraphs 3 and 4.
You represent Christ in true goodness of character and understand what these words signify. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received from grace of grace. John 1:14-16. You receive grace, you develop grace, and as you receive grace in your words and in your spirit and actions, God pours upon you a larger measure of grace. In proportion as you surrender yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit, you are supplied with heavenly grace. You are molded and fashioned a vessel unto honor and become a channel through which God makes manifest his grace to the world. That I may know him, 276, 5.
Reflection. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 15:20, King James Version.
Would you like to continue, dear sister?
Sure. What will the human agent do to have the privilege of cooperating with God? Will he forsake all that he has rather than forsake Christ? Will he suffer persecution for the truth's sake? Reproach and persecution have separated many souls from heaven, but never a soul from the love of Christ. Never yet did persecution drive the soul who was indeed a lover of Jesus Christ away from him. The love of Jesus in the soul is all absorbing, for that great love wherewith God had loved us, revealed in giving Christ to us, is beyond a parallel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
If we can bear persecution for his dear name's sake, his love becomes a ruling power in our hearts. For we have the assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Never is the tempest-tried soul more dearly loved by his Savior than when he is suffering reproach for the truth's sake. When for the truth's sake, the believer stands at the bar of unrighteous tribunals, Christ stands by his side. All the reproaches that fall upon the human believer fall upon Christ in the person of his saints. I will love him, said Christ, and will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. Christ is condemned over again in the person of his believing disciples. When, for the truth's sake, the believer is incarcerated in prison walls, Christ manifests himself to him and ravishes his heart with his love. When he suffers death for the sake of Christ, Christ says to him, they may kill the body, but they cannot hurt the soul. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. From John 16:33, and that I may know him, page 275, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, dear ones, we are never alone. We have a poem. It's entitled Trying and Praying, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 4, from page 103, Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic?
Number one, I am sure I never can be good, and so there's no use trying. When Peter calls me a naughty names, I cannot help replying.
I tried and tried. Go ahead.
I've tried and tried. Oft I've tried. I'm sure I can't remember. Since my birthday, I have tried. I've tired, I know. And that was in December.
I'm sure I don't know what to do. What is my darling saying? How can a little child be good who never thinks of praying?
Number four, how could their baby brother walk if I never not beside him? He might be trying, but you know, he needs a hand to guide him.
Number five, kneel down, dear child, kneel humbly down. Bow thy young head in meekness to him who, with a father's heart, can pity all thy weakness.
Ask for his spirit in thy heart, to help each weak endeavor. Ask him self-control to impart, to be thy strength forever.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. Welcome to our dear sister, Ida. We are so glad to hear, dear sister, and God bless you. Our special music, taken from Scripture Song Singers, in the section of God's Love. This is taken from Romans 8, verses 35, 37 to 39, margin. Welcome to all the precious family as well. We are so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Well, dear ones, we are a little bit over. If you have any testimony to be able to share, dear ones, you can be able to do so, maybe in between the services or after the service by God's grace. So next week, we will continue with part 5, which is the last part of our lesson entitled, The Lord is Risen, in our study book, The Desire Ages. If anyone would like to be able to have closing prayer for our family review, may you do so, dear one. I'm muting your mic.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, dear Lord, for this blessed Saturday. We thank you by your grace and mercy, bringing us together once more to worship you and to receive all your blessing this Saturday. We thank you for the little ones and their participation and their parents as well. Be with us as we move to the next sections of the study. May you continue to bless us richly, I pray. Guide us. Be with the speaker, I pray. And thank you again, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be our part 5. That will take place September 28, 2024. That will be a lesson 418, dear ones, entitled, The Lord is Risen. Scripture and also a quote taken from the Great Controversy, page 469, part 3. Our scripture is from 1 Corinthians 15:57, King James. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our quote from Philippians 2:12-13, this work can be accomplished only through faith in Christ, by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul admonished believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And also the scripture, this Christian will feel the prompting of sin, but he will maintain a constant warfare against it. Here is where Christ's help is needed. Human weaknesses becomes united to divine strength, and faith exclaims, thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. Thank you for praying for mine, and I will continue praying for everyone else. In Jesus' name, amen.